Welcome to Passion and Purpose with Pamela, celebrating all things woman. I'm Dr. Pamela Hardy Shepherd, here to ignite inspiration through conversations that spotlight women's power and their journeys. Let's share our light, our stories, and create a space of celebration for every woman. Here's to embracing our womanhood together. Welcome to Passion and Purpose with Pamela, where we explore inspiring journeys of individuals dedicated to making a difference in their fields and communities. Today, we are honored to feature Dr. Victoria Ayamba, a distinguished senior consultant at Deloitte, specializing in organizational transformation with the firm's government and public services practice. Dr. Ayamba brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to her role, holding a doctorate of education in organizational leadership from Pepperdine University, a master's of science in counseling from San Diego State University, and a bachelor's of arts in sociology from North Dakota State University. Her extensive background includes 8 years in higher education, student affairs, where she championed programs supporting students with disabilities and spearheaded university change management initiatives focused on organizational, culture, diversity, equity, inclusion, and workplace effectiveness. With a decade of experience in nonprofit and county agency sectors as a mental health clinician, Dr. Ayamba dedicated her career to providing direct care and impactful programming. Her commitment to community engagement is evident through her active involvement with the Urban League Young Professionals, where she has served for 5 years and currently holds the position of Secretary for Greater Phoenix Chapter. In addition to her professional and community roles, Dr. Ayamba is an elected official serving as a precinct committee person and contributes to the Maricopa County Black Engagement Committee, focusing on voter registration and election of individuals aligned with her party's values. Join us as we delve into Dr. Ayamba's remarkable journey, exploring her passion, her leadership, dedication to community service, and the purposeful impact she continues to make in the world. Welcome, Dr. Ayamba. Oh my goodness. I just introduced you, Victoria, and I was wondering if you would share a little bit about yourself and from whence you've come, and just catch everybody up, if you would.
Yeah, happy to do so. Thank you for having me on. It's such an honor to be here. My story begins in Minneapolis, Minnesota, is where I grew up. I am a daughter of immigrant parents. I'm a proud Nigerian American, so My parents immigrated with my older brothers and sisters to the U.S.
Wow.
I have a twin sister, and my sister and I were born here. So, you know, growing up, we definitely understood, and there was, you know, the pressure of, you know, living up and not disappointing your family, you know, because they sacrificed so much to be here, and their goal was always to, you know, work hard so then that way we would have more opportunities and be kind of better set up in life. And so, you know, I think when growing up and seeing that kind of really instilled a desire to try to make something of myself and kind of live up to those expectations that Nigerian parents tend to have for their children.
That's awesome. Oh, my goodness. So you have a twin sister.
I do.
Can you share a little bit what it's like to be a twin?
So I don't know. It's interesting. I think I've always been asked that question, and I don't know how to really answer it because it's all I've ever known. So, you know, I think compared to other twins, my sister and I definitely, I feel like, have a unique twin relationship. You know, we're very close, but we don't have to be close to each other, if that makes sense. So yes. I think one thing I really appreciate about my parents is that from the time we were in second grade, they have put us in separate classes. So I think they were really trying to make sure that even though we were twins, that we still had our own identity and our own personality, and we didn't have to like rely on each other. And so we've always been in separate classes, except for like, some of those electives or whatnot. But we played the same sports from, middle school and junior high. But then once we got to high school, I think our freshman year, we both played basketball. And then after that, we kind of diverged into our own kind of different interests. But yeah, so like, I feel like, I can definitely understand her moods and understand what she's thinking and what she likes and what she doesn't like. But like, some of my close friends here, like, they always get mad because, like, I literally haven't seen my sister probably in like 3 or 4 years. And so people are always so surprised. They're like, well, why not? I'm like, our schedules are just so busy. Like, they just don't align. And when I'm home, I miss her and vice versa. And like, but it doesn't feel like we haven't seen each other because we literally talk and text each other like every day and FaceTime and talk. So, like, we know what's going on with each other. We're constantly in touch. And so I know, but I know like there's some twins who are very enmeshed and like they've always been together, but like but yeah, my sister and I are, I think, a unique type of twin.
I love what your parents did because they had wisdom and discernment because they were like, they're going to need their own specialness. They're both special, but they need, so to create that was like, wow. I mean, when you said it, I was like, wow, that was really smart. I mean, it really was because you're not always going to be together. I lived across the street from these two twins and they dressed alike. They cut the grass with their electric lawnmowers together. They never got married. They didn't have any kids. They lived with their mom and they stayed at home and they stayed in the house. And as a kid growing up, I just watched that. I said, oh, that's really neat. You have the same lawnmower. One cuts one direction, the other cut the other. I mean, I didn't go into their home. I really didn't know much about them besides what I seen as a kid. But I thought that was really, really unique. But I think what is really unique and so smart and clever of your parents putting you in separate classes so that you could create friendships and be able to do the things you do today and still be very close. So, oh wow, that is awesome. Well, I have a lot of things to ask you because I'm going to go fast forward where you are today and then ask you how did you get there? Because as long as I've known you, your dream job was Deloitte. And and it is a major, major company and it's always been a dream and you actually work there. And so I want to ask you, how did you get there? I mean, you just didn't like, oh, okay, this is my dream job on my vision board. This is what I want. How did you get there? Tell us, how did you get there?
I tell people like I think it's a lot of like perseverance, a little bit perseverance, a little bit, skills and competency, and then a big dash of luck, to be honest. I think it was just like the right time, the right space that it just happened to allow me to get into that. So backing up a little bit, like my previous career was in mental health. And so I, got my master's in counseling with the emphasis in marriage and family therapy. And I really attempted for about like 7, 8 years to really try to make that my career. And I do have a passion for mental health, and it's something that I will always and will continue to advocate for. However, there just came a time in that career journey where I wasn't connecting with my clients in the way that I feel like it's important to as a therapist. I wasn't finding myself being able to be as present in sessions or, kind of caring as much, And I think maybe it had to do with stuff that was going on in my own life where I just like couldn't really, I didn't have the capacity to be there for myself and to be there for my clients. And so, and I decided to bow out because I know the harm having a bad therapist can do to clients. And I didn't want to be that bad therapist. I didn't want to be a story of someone not continuing therapy because the therapist was bad. So before I got to that point, I decided, let me see what else is out there. Let me see what I can do. However, I had a very linear frame of mind at that time in my life. I was really, I was young in this stage of my life, because I went from undergrad straight to grad school, and so by the time I graduated with my master's, I was maybe 23 or 24 years old, and so, young in the career. And so at this point, I'm in my late 20s, and I'm like, isn't it too early to be having like a midlife crisis? Like, what is going on? But at the time that I was thinking, like, okay, well, you got your undergrad degree in sociology and family science and your master's in counseling. And so then in my mind and frame of thinking, it was like, well, then I have to do the next progression of a doctorate, but I don't want to be a psychologist anymore. So like, what can I do? Not realizing like I didn't have to like stay in that track, like you can do so many other like work with your degrees. And that's where I learned about like transferable skills and things like that. And so I think I was really fortunate to have access to mentors like yourself and to work in a university where, I get to be around professors and colleagues from all different colleges and backgrounds. And, there was the director of career services at the university I was working at, and I am blanking on her name right now, and that's really bad of me right now. But she I did a training for my department on like Myers-Briggs type indicators. And it really just kind of opened my eyes of like, oh, I like this. Like it's a way of using like psychology in a different way in an organization, in a corporate setting. And that had never crossed my mind that those two worlds could collide in such a way. And that's why I was introduced to like organizational development and the world of consulting and all of these different things. And so from there, I just did a lot of informational interviews. I was talking to org consultants at the university that I was working with, and they would try to connect me with someone, and I would talk to them and just kind of learn about what area did I want to go to. Because there was a time like, well, maybe I want to be a coach, but I'm like, well, what is coaching? And realizing, well, coaching is just like another form of counseling therapy, but on the corporate side, I'm like, I'm trying to get away from that. So like it was a lot of like trial and error of like seeing what aspects of this new world of, corporate psychology or development in which I could kind of venture into. And I think during my research, someone told me about like, well, you should just work for a consulting firm because, then you get to do all types of consulting. And I'm like, oh, what's a consulting firm? And so like it was like, because I went to school, I was in the College of Liberal Arts. I was very all like hippie, like this whole corporate side was so new to me. I didn't understand any of it. And so I started like doing my research on the different consulting firms, and that's where I learned about like MBB, which is like, the top three, like McKinsey and Company, Bain, and Boston Consulting Group. And I was like, oh, okay, so this is what a consulting firm is. And then at the time, there was a show on Showtime. Again, why is my memory so bad? There was a show on Showtime with Don Cheadle, and he was a consultant. And so in my eyes, that was what consulting was. And it was just like this high power moving numbers, strategy, figuring out profits and margins. I'm like, that sounds like a whole lot of math, and I'm not good at I don't know if consulting is good is gonna be for me. But in my and so like I started like researching like the MBBs and like I
Okay,
subscribe.
for those that what MBB, for those who may not know what that, what is that?
So
MBB.
that's the initials of the top three consulting firms. So
Okay.
M is for McKinsey and Company, B is for Bain, and then the other B is for Boston Consulting Group. And
Thank you.
so those are like the top tier consulting firms that anyone from like top MBA programs, like their goal is to work for these firms because you get to, I guess, do a lot of cool different types of work. And it's just very kind of prestigious. It's kind of like the Ivy Leagues of corporations. And they're very competitive. And in my research, I learned because I'm like, okay, like this is a cool company. And I just started like sending resumes into the abyss and never hearing back. And I was like, huh, like, why am I getting rejected right away? And then, through more conversations and more research, I learned I'm like, oh, these are very hard to get into types of companies. And I learned that they typically only like recruit from MBA programs or things, and realizing that my background wasn't going to be enough to get in the door. I did my undergrad and my master's at state schools, which I love. There's nothing wrong with state schools. They provide great education, great foundations. But in this world of consulting, if your state school is not ranked, in the
Yes,
MBA program.
it is true. And if your school's a party school,
Exactly. So, I realized that ranking matters, like being at a school in which they recruit from is important. And so that led me to think, okay, I will go back to school and I will go to a top, really great school, and I will just get another degree to help me be able to participate in the recruiting. And so I'm like, and then I said, like, well, I already have a master's, so I'm going to go back and get my doctorate since it's the next level, because I saw that, they had a lot of positions in which they were recruiting from for those who came from law school or doctorate or PhD, EdD programs. Like, okay, that aligns. And I applied and I got into Pepperdine, and Pepperdine has a great business school, and they were a school that, these institutions would recruit from. So yeah,
Wow,
I that was kind of like the first step of my journey, is trying to find a way to get access to the people at these companies, because I didn't have a network. My family doesn't come from a background in which they had any social capital that they could give to me that would help get me in the door into these places. And then again, most of my network was in liberal arts and counseling and mental health, and they knew nothing of this world. And so I had to do something for myself and make that very expensive investment to place myself in front of the people who needed to see me.
Now, I want to stop us there for a second and say to people, do you hear what she did? Do you hear what she said? I don't have I didn't have those connections. I did my research. I mean, because you're telling this story, and the thing is that you said, okay, I don't have social capital. I don't have that. And that's not from whence I came. I didn't go to an Ivy League school. Therefore, what is it that I have to do? Well, let me look, because I'm just like floored, because you did your research and said, okay, these are the things they're looking for. These are the places that they're recruiting from. What am I going to do? And you said something that is so powerful. You said, I selected this goal. I applied to Pepperdine. I got accepted, and I invested in myself. And as women, many times we won't invest in ourselves. So keep going. So I just wanted to really push that out there, because you're saying some powerful things. And as women, we really need to hear it. It doesn't always happen the way we think it's going to happen. So keep going. I love this. This is awesome.
Yeah, and like, I was in school at Pepperdine at this great university, and in this program where there was a mixture of my classmates from higher ed background and corporate backgrounds. And I was really excited to start getting recruiting, and I went to their career center. And that's where I realized I didn't quite do my research enough. So I guess this is like a learning lesson for others that, you might have a plan. And sometimes, life has other things planned for you. And so my degree program was situated in the College of Education. And I was not aware that at the graduate level, and maybe I also didn't realize because again, I was in liberal arts, in undergrad and my master's program, but I didn't realize that business schools have their own separate career center from the rest of the colleges and universities. So, if your university has like five different colleges and then they have a business school, all these five colleges have one career center and the business school typically has their own. And I didn't know that because all of my degree programs that I'd taken, it was just the one career center. I didn't realize there were separate ones. And so when I initially went to the career center, they realized like, oh, we can't really support you in the way that you're looking for in this recruiting because those are relationships in the business school. And I realized they were very siloed and they didn't like to share. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I'm like, well, let me just mosey on down to the business school career center. And like, I'm a student at Pepperdine too. So like I pay tuition. So let me get what I'm paying for. And I went to their center and they wouldn't help me because I wasn't a business school student. And they said we would have to get special permission to provide you services and allow you like to participate in our networking and recruiting events. And these are for our students. And so I was like, what? Like the
That's
whole
a
point of coming here was to get access to what you say I can't have. And so, and at this point it's like, well, I'm like a year or so into, this degree program. I'm not gonna stop now because I started. And I'm also very stubborn. I try to always like finish something that I complete. But then I started racking my brain of like, okay, if they're not gonna help me, how do I still get access? And one thing about me is I will network like there's no business in order to achieve my goal. And because of that, people always think that I'm very extroverted. I'm not. I'm an introvert, true at heart. I'm a homebody. I like to stay at home, but I can be very social when I need to be, and I can turn it on and, present my full self as a way to build relationships. I do love building relationships. I love building intentional relationships. And so I got on LinkedIn and I just started looking at people who were an alumni of Pepperdine and who were working at these firms that I wanted to work at. And I just started cold messaging a bunch of people like, hey, I'm a fellow Wave right now and I want to work where you're working. Like, would
Wow.
you be willing to do an informational interview or like just to help me? Like, I just need to know people. And if the school's not going to help me get to know people, maybe I can use this alumni network to help get introduced to people or get me to the door.
So what made you do that? I mean, how did you figure to do that? I mean, 'cause that seems obvious, but it isn't.
Because I think I hadn't noticed, I think I realized, I think my twin sister. Like she's a hustler. Like she, I really look up into her way and how she just allows herself to just trust life. So like my sister is the epitome of like the fake it till you make it. Like she moved to San Francisco, was to be a paralegal or to do a paralegal program or law school, some type of law program, decided it wasn't for her. And of course, being in San Francisco, she's amongst all this tech stuff. And so she's like, oh, let me see about this tech thing. And like somehow like got her foot in door at like this tech startup, doing, I don't even know, maybe resource management or something. I don't even know. But she had no experience or background in it, but she like allowed herself to get into the door, faked it to the make it, and then she just kind of like used that leverage to like hop between different startups until like she gained enough capital that she was offered a job in New York City to do some really cool work. And now she's a senior manager at a big tech company in New York City.
Wow.
But she was never afraid to like quit a job that she was unhappy with without having a backup plan. Like, I need another job lined up before I quit anything, because my finances doesn't work that way. And neither did hers. But her idea was like, it will work out. And it always worked out for her. And I just love that faith that she had in herself. But I also saw how she was using her relationships and connections from each job and that she worked at to get to the next place. So like people that she worked with at one company, and if they left and moved to another company, they would reach out or she would reach out to them. And I just saw how she networked and kept those relationships to like learn about new opportunities or get asked to be part of a new opportunity. And so I realized like, if I'm gonna try to be in this field, I need to build a network with people in this space. Because again, my whole network before was in education and counseling and mental health.
Yes.
And so like, I really needed to start from ground zero. And because of that, you just kind of have to just like put yourself out there and just start. You have to start somewhere. And so I decided I'm just going to start with my alumni network, because I'm hoping that as a fellow, you know, wave of fellow person for Pepperdine, maybe they might be more willing to help someone who attended the same school as them. And so that's why I started with people, looking up people. Cause you know, like on LinkedIn, you can look up a company and then you can like see who works there. You can filter by like schools or whatever. And so, you know, I judge people by the picture and seem like who seems they have a friendly face.
I mean, that's real. That's real. I mean, it is. It's really real when you think about it, you know, because, you know, when people reach out to me, I look at them and then I see who are they friends with? You know, I mean, even on Facebook, I do this like, okay, if they've got more than 10 friends that I know, okay, that's a sure thing, you know, on Facebook, because that to me, it is like opposite of LinkedIn. And on LinkedIn, it is mostly all the people you've worked with or people that you like something and you connect with them, or they're doing something that you want and how you utilize that. I mean, it is really a good lesson in networking, because it's not like it used to be. You used to carry around a little card and give it out to people. And the one thing, though, about the card, I would write, okay, she has red hair, she has a husband, she's been married. And I would write down everything about that person that they told me. And that's the one thing now you have to do when you meet people, because you want to be able to, hey, Victoria, we met at the coffee shop on so-and-so. Remember the lady spilled the coffee or whatever, or we were at some conference or whatever. How do you cold network people and then go outside of LinkedIn? How do you do that?
I think it's just being intentional. So, you know, one thing, like, I just didn't like click on the name. Like, I looked at their profile, what they did. Like, I tried to see what they studied, you know, if they worked at other places before they got to one of those firms, you know, and see, really try to see what like their background was and like try to find some of those commonalities. And so that way, when I did reach out, I can be like, hey, I'm a current student at Pepperdine and I see that you're alumni. This is what I hope to do after graduation. I noticed that we have X, Y, and X in common. And that's really interesting, because I'm looking to now transition into this. Would you be interested in telling me a little bit, like having a conversation with me to learn more about what you do and what things that I can do to set me up for success to try to like get there? It's kind of how I did. And then the next thing is always like, asking them like, hey, And I didn't say, like, I probably sent out, I'm just gonna make up a number, like 50 messages, and maybe I think 10 people actually responded, you know? So it wasn't like a high success rate, but like the ones who did reach back, I got really great conversations, really great insight from. And usually I would ask them, like, is there someone else that you can connect me with who you think willing to have a conversation with? And I think that's the ask that you should, in any type of networking, is like, you know, who else should be someone I should know or talk to? Because then that helps to expand your network even further. And then you already have an introduction from this person. And then, like, oh, you're introducing me to this person? Okay, then I'm more like that. They're more likely to follow up and engage in that conversation with you.
I
And
love
there's
that.
some people who responded like, hey, thanks for reaching out. You know what? I can't really help you in this, or I don't have time for this, but this person does. I'll send an intro email for you. And I had a couple of those types of situations where like they weren't able to like assist me, or maybe they hadn't updated their LinkedIn, so they're not even there anymore. So then, you know, so and then I use my in-person networks. I think at the time there was someone, a new employee who was working in my department, and she had attended an Ivy League school and actually had gone through the recruiting process for those firms. And I think she, I don't know if she was got offered a position or she made it to like one of the final rounds. But when I found that out, it was great because I got to learn from her experiences. And then she tapped into her network and got me connected to a handful of people who were willing to have a conversation with me. So I think sometimes that comes with like, I know, especially I feel like with this new generation, with like the younger millennials, because I'm a millennial, but like there's a distinction between the older millennials and the young, the other, the second
Yes,
generation of
yes.
millennials. But I think one thing I've been finding with them and like in Gen Z is that like there's this mentality of I'm just here to work. This is just my job,
Right.
in and out. But there's something about trying to build intentional relationships with your coworkers. And I'm not saying that you have to be friends with everyone because
Right. Right.
you know, but I think if you can find one or two, you know, two to three people who they pass the vibe check, you know, you have same values, same work ethics, and just really try to like know where they came from, what their background is, and build those relationships, because you never know when that will pay off. And that's what I did with this new employee. Like, she wasn't even in like the same area of work that I was doing in my department, but she was a Black woman. So, and there were few and far between. So I really wanted to make sure that she felt welcomed in a space that's very predominantly white and not very diverse. And just like, I know we're not really working together. I know you're doing your thing, but I'm just right here. And just intentionally build that relationship and that friendship. So.
What you're talking about is so powerful because many times we feel alone when we come into wherever we're trying to go or whatever we're trying to accomplish, it's better. There's a proverb that sticks in a bundle are harder to break. It's an African proverb, and my braces. And the thing about it is there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And so when there's people on your path that can say, yeah, you want to go that direction or this. And what you're saying is that, who's in our circle? And there's different circles for different things. And I love that you're talking about that because as somebody who's a baby boomer, I wish those what you're saying right now is was taught to me early on because it wasn't. You were left out. You were pushed out. You weren't even included. So you're saying some really powerful things. And so along the path, somebody who's a baby, you got to swim upstream, figure it out yourself because no one is bringing the information to you to know how to navigate the landscape. So this is so powerful. And I'm just like really into what you're saying because I see you. I know you're younger than me, and I know you're young, but you are so far beyond your years. And that's deep. I mean, you really are. And to be able to do the things that you've accomplished, because you are a highly intelligent woman and you have lots of skills, and that diverse background that you have, you've been able to pull it together and utilize everything that you've learned. And it's so incredible. So we're about how you begin to network and going into meeting different people. And okay, so bring us along, just pull us along out where you are now.
Through that all that research, I realized that the MBBs was not the place for me. Like it was the type of work that they did. Like I think I mentioned, like I bought this case interview thing to prepare me of how to do these cases and types of projects that they do. And I struggled. Like I was really struggling. I'm like, I can't, like, if this is my day-to-day work, this will not be enjoyable for me. And so I was like, what else can I do? And I'm really grateful to Dr. Richard Patnaud, who has also been a great mentor to me when I was in higher education. And I would think I would, and I think never be afraid to say hi to people you think are out of reach. You know, like Dr. Patnaud, he was the president of the university, you know? And I'm just a lowly counselor, nowhere near his circle. But I think one day, I think I saw him walking and I said hi. And anytime I saw him, I would just say hi. I'm like, hi, Dr. Patnaud. And I think because I started to do that, he like started to like ask me who I was, more things about me. He's like, what's your name and who are you? And so that way, over time of me working at the institution, it would be, we just had a, like a genuine relationship and we were catching up and we were having these small talks. And so, you know, I was in my third year of my doctorate program. And I think he was asking me about like my dissertation and how it was going. I was telling him about my research and wanting to talk like, and where I was thinking of going. And I think something I made, I don't, I think I made it, made it aside about like consulting firms or something. And he had mentioned, he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm on the board of directors for this big, you know, charity organization. And one of my board, you know, member colleagues is the managing partner of Deloitte here in San Diego. Like, I can introduce you. Maybe he can help you with whatever you're trying to decipher for your dissertation and whatnot. And I was like, oh,
Oh,
okay.
goodness.
And I had never had, like, Deloitte had came up in like the list of consulting firms, but like, I had known it as like a tax firm, you know, accounting, and I didn't know they had like this consulting practice. And so, in my preparation for this in this informational conversation interview with this big managing partner of Deloitte San Diego office, I was researching Deloitte, and then I just learned about the work that they did. I saw that they had this human capital practice in which was people-centric. And the work that they did aligned with how to make things better for employees in the workplace in regards to workforce transformation, org transformation, human capital areas as a service. And I was like, this is me. This is the work I want to do. This is what fits perfectly with my background. And it's not just about numbers and revenue and profit and calculations. And so, that was kind of like the beginning of my journey of like, okay, this is where I want to work at. This is the firm I want to be at. And and that was it. I, you know, I submitted a lot of applications. I probably submitted three applications a year for about 5 years and not a bite. And then in 2019, I was out in Phoenix for a conference with the Urban League Young Professionals. It was our Western Regional Conference. And we were, you know, doing some networking. And I met a girl a member who was part of the Phoenix chapter, and she had just gotten hired at Deloitte here in Phoenix. They had built this new office and they had been doing a lot of hiring. And I was like, what? And so she's like, yeah. And so we talked, and then she connected me and submitted a referral. And I literally, for this like recruiting event that was happening like the following week, and I literally bought a tick a same day ticket. Like I flew in for this recruiting event on like a Wednesday evening and then flew back home 2 hours later. Like I didn't even like all I had was my purse and my suit and I was on that plane. Like I was literally probably in the air longer than I was at in the actual like
Event.
but unfortunately I didn't get selected from that recruiting event, but I'm like, okay, I'm getting a step closer because now I've had FaceTime with the recruiters. My name is in this. I know people now. And so then, I just kept on applying and, eventually I got a call back for an interview. And so it was a lot of years and a lot of persistence and, of networking and trying to like meet people in the firm and get connected and having people do referrals for me so that my name continued to
Wow.
be in the database. But it was a 5 year long journey of persistence towards my goal of working at Deloitte.
That's awesome. I mean, never giving up, no matter what. And you had a vision and you were like, okay, it doesn't work that way. I'm gonna go this way. And you did whatever it took, though, Victoria. Some people say what they want. And they're not willing to go after it. And it doesn't always come easy. It means like, okay, well, that door shut. Okay, God, are you gonna open this one? Okay, I'll go this way. And so you move how you can move. And when you see an opportunity, you never sat back and thought it's supposed to come to you because you'd be sitting back waiting forever. You went after what you wanted. And that's commendable. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah,
And
and I had to continue investing in myself because even after the doctorate degree, I learned consulting firms, they don't really care. MBA is where it's at. I'm going to tell if anybody who wants to work for a consulting firm, like, the MBBs, Deloitte, Accenture, PricewaterhouseCoopers, KPMG, Ernst & Young, any of those top consulting firms, MBA is where it's at.
okay. Depending on
No,
where
I'm
you
like,
got your MBA from.
and where you get it from does matter. There
It
is a
does.
hierarchy, unfortunately. But if I would have understood that better, I might have left my doctorate program and just applied and try to aim for an MBA program, because I didn't realize how much more value and weight that held. But again, so like, which and it got it, and that was really like heartbreaking for me because I'm like, I just spent 3 years getting this doctorate degree and it doesn't mean anything for them. I'm like, did I just spend all this money, all this time for nothing? And then I realized, okay, well, what can I do to make myself stronger? And so I reinvested in myself and I got a certification in ProSci Change Management because that was the leading change management certification. It still is. And I has noticed on some of these positions I had been applying for, everyone wanted you to be ProSci certified. So I'm like, you know what? Let me get my ProSci certification. And I kid you not, like literally the week after I got my certification, all the jobs that I applied for in like change management at companies and at firms, I started to get callbacks for interviews. And some of those interviews were obviously weren't successful, but it was like a step closer. And so sometimes you have to like just sit back and reevaluate like what didn't go right and what else needs to be done. And for that meant having to shell out more money, but it paid off in the end because I got a job at a top tier financial bank where I was a change management consultant for a year. And during that year, I still kept applying to Deloitte and while I was there, I got a call back, and I think having that company as a change consultant with my certification allowed that door to really be propped open for me to get that call back from Deloitte. So I think without those two things, I don't think I might still be applying, to be honest.
Wow. This has been earth-shaking. It really has. And I need you to know that because, you know, like when you're doing your journey and you're talking about it, a lot of times you really, it's your journey, but to hear somebody else's journey and the steps that you took to achieve what you wanted to achieve is earth-shattering and shaking. It's profound. I need to say that because it is so powerful because you don't know what quit is. And you're like, okay, that didn't work. Well, let me write this down and I'm going to go ahead and I love that about you. I've always loved that about you. And by the way, everybody, she is such an incredible individual. If you haven't known it yet, I've worked with her and I've listened to her in meetings and she can just steal the show. She is just articulate. She's bright and sassy. Yeah, she's sassy. And I just love the way Victoria is and how she presents herself. And, you know, in life, we think somebody's being a mentor to us, but you also mentor. Because just because somebody's older and they have experience doesn't mean that they cannot be taught. You've taught me a lot. And you're teaching me right now. And you're teaching everyone who's listening. So I just want to thank you for that. And I just want you to bring us up to where you are now and then leave us with something that you want us to really, really get.
Yeah. So I'm still at Deloitte. I've been there now for a little over 3 years. I'm a senior consultant aligned in our government and public services practice, supporting org transformation, change management type of projects. It's been a roller coaster. You know, I did experience a lot of, I don't say imposter syndrome. I try to say like, maybe it's like workplace trauma syndrome because, you know, I had worked in environments that weren't so supportive and wanting to see you grow and develop. And then being thrust into a company in which they're like, you own your career, here are resources, it's yours to lose or keep type of thing. And so it was like a lot of like, am I doing something right? Is this okay to do? And like Deloitte, it's been really great. They encourage you to network, to grow and build relationships. They encourage you to reach out to our partners and principals at the firm and managing directors and those above you and, you know, really encourage you to build relationships at your peer level and up. And so it's been really great to be in a place where I can see myself trying to grow. I think I'm trying to stay there for a little bit longer. You know, I'm trying to aim to be, you know, hopefully if the cards align, I'm trying to aim for managing director. So The next step in my career is trying to get to the manager level, which hopefully in the next year or two that will be there. But yeah, I think, you know, it's been a great place to, it definitely has challenged me, you know, and I've learned things about myself of what I like and what I don't like, what I am looking for in a career, because again, like I told myself, like, I'm not applying for jobs, you know, I'm only applying for places where I can have a career and really grow and develop. I want to be able to be, you know, a thought leader in my field of practice. And that's what I'm just trying to grow and develop in. And so, it's been an interesting
three-year journey. So when I travel and everywhere I go, I see a Deloitte building. And so I always think about Victoria. I'm taking pictures over in Iceland and at Belfast. And I was like, oh, there's a Deloitte. Oh. So I got to write Victoria and tell I see the Deloitte building today.
We are everywhere. We have a large global reach. And it's really cool to see, like, there's still things I don't even know we do. I'm like, oh, we do that? I'm like, wow. But, you know, it's exciting to see, to be somewhere where there's always some type of innovation and transformation going. And I feel like I can really explore different areas where I'm new interest. You know, I the big trend and it's going on is Gen AI, generative AI, and cybersecurity. So being able to kind of tiptoe around those areas and learn about that and seeing how I can incorporate that into my work has been really fun and engaging. But I think if I had to like leave this conversation with anything is, I don't know, just take a chance on yourself. I think, don't stay in that box. Sometimes I look back and I feel a little bit of regret that I didn't make this change in my life sooner. I was very linear. I was, I think I stayed in my field 3 years too long because I was just like, I spent all this time in the master's doing this. Like I'm not gonna give up on it, But I think sometimes you just kind of have to let the rabbit go, and just really kind of pay attention internally to yourself. And if you're not happy about your career or something, then really look into that. Because I think about missed opportunities. If I would have started this journey years earlier, like what trajectory, what, how would that look like now, And so, yeah, I think that's what I would just kind of encourage people to just let the rabbit go and allow yourself to take a chance on yourself and pivot. I think pivoting is okay at no matter what phase of life you're in, and just trust yourself in that power of the pivot. So.
I love that. Oh my goodness. Well, there's nothing else to be said after that because the pivot is powerful. Thank you so much, Victoria. You are such a blessing. You bring so much knowledge, and I would say I want to say courage to this conversation because it takes courage to do the things that you've done as well. So we just thank you. I'm honored to have you here. It is just amazing. And we definitely want to invite you back to learn more about your journey. And because I know you've got other things to say.
Yes. Well, I have so many other things going on in my life too. So, with my political involvement that I'm in and all of that, it's been this new phase of life has been it's been fun to kind of allow myself to delve into different areas. So,
So, will you come back? Is the question.
of course, I will.
Yay, yay.
I'll come back for you, Dr. Hari. You are one
Well,
of my favorite people. So, yes.
just love you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us. And you will get any information, contact information in the notes for Dr. Lord, I don't want to tear up your name. So, say your name correctly. I am.
Beyond.
Yes.
Dr.
And I
Victoria.
said it right when I introduced you, but I'm getting excited. So just thank you so much.
No, you're
We'll
very
see
welcome.
you
And yes, see you all on LinkedIn. Happy to connect.
soon. Thank you, everyone. We'll speak with you soon.
Thank you all for joining us today on Passion and Purpose. It's been wonderful to connect with you, and I hope you found our conversation as enlightening and inspiring as I have. A huge thanks to our guests who contributed to the discussion and share their experiences and insights. Your stories are the heartbeat of this podcast, and it's a joy to explore our passions and purpose together. I'm Pamela, reminding you to live with passion and purpose. Until next time, take care and keep reaching for your dreams.